WAS File, the Ultimate Redskins Podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
Let's talk Redskins, and to do that from WTOP, that's actually part of how you find him on Twitter, G. Wallace, WTOP. It is George Wallace who covers the Redskins and pretty much everything related to sports that's going on in and around the nation's capital. George, let's start off here. Nobody wants to be sitting at 0-2, but are there positives that you can pull from the fact that this team is 0-2, or are fans just burying their heads in the sand in frustration?
Well, around this area, you know, if it's 0-2, then, you know, the world's coming to an end with the Redskins and everything's over, you know. But there are positives I think you can take. And I think that's the biggest thing that I think the players and coaches, why they're so not necessarily down, but more frustrated. I mean, that was one of the most frustrated locker rooms I've seen in a long time around here after the game the other day, is because they know they have the talent. They know they should be putting up more points. They know they should be getting more stops on defense. So it's just a matter of putting it together. I mean, this offense, you know, scoring on 5 of 7 drives the other day, punting only once, and, you know, settling for field goals in the red zone, that stuff, that's, you know, over 400 yards. So there are positives there, and that's the stuff that they need to translate more into touchdowns. And on the defensive side, getting off the ball, off the field on third down, especially third and long, things like that need to change, because obviously, you know, you're getting into a situation where you want to get too much further behind. But they're stressing the fact that there are 14 games left. They do see that there are positives, and they do see that they're close to putting this all together. Now it's just a matter of doing it. And, you know, Jay Gruden says the other day, and he said it again, we need to coach better, play better. Well, you know, yes, there are 14 games left, but you're running out of time to do that.
When you talk about the fact that they had to settle for some field goals, what stalled out, George? What did you see change where, you know, you felt comfortable they're moving the ball down the field, and then all of a sudden they start treading water? What changed?
Honestly, it's a situation where Cousins missed, you know, he missed Jamison Crowder open. It would have been a touchdown. He missed DeSean Jackson. He overthrew DeSean Jackson, which is very hard to do. It would have been a touchdown. You know, the Josh Doctson play for 57 yards, he underthrows him. He has to stop and come back for it. That would have been a touchdown. The pick in the end zone obviously didn't result in any points. But
right.
The decisions by Kirk Cousins or the throws by him, and also – getting down in situations, you know, you have first and goal at the 6. Matt Jones already ran off a 14-yard TD run for you, and then you don't give him the ball. So they stopped running the ball in situations like that. So it's just, I don't know what it is, but it looks almost as if, hey, Cousins has become very, very hesitant, very tentative, and I don't understand that. And B, they're panicking in some sort. They go away from the run game too easily. It's almost as if the entire operation on offense has panicked, and they just have gotten away from things that have worked in the past. Not necessarily, you know, I know last year is different, but this offense started clicking late in the year, and you've added some pieces now to this offense, so you would have hoped by now you would have taken another step forward.
Coming into the season, George, I feel like the running game was a bit of a question mark, or maybe not so much a question mark, but maybe just not really sure, fans not really knowing exactly what to expect out of it. Now that you've had, I know it's a small sample size, but 2 games, what's your assessment of Matt Jones and obviously of the running game, which means we got to talk offensive line as well, but what's your assessment of the ground game so far that you've seen out of Washington?
Well, you're right. It's been a very small sample size, but I think Matt's shown some bursts of something that you could be positive about. I mean, he had the touchdown run the other day. Is he as quick as a lot of running backs? No, but he puts his head down. He's a power guy, and he has a little bit of burst of speed. So I think you can build on that. They're gung ho with this guy. He's going to be the guy right now. He's the number one back, and they just need to figure out a way to get him going more. But you need to be able to run the ball more, and the coaches have said it. For the first 2 weeks, yeah, maybe we've gotten away from the run too early. And I understand they want to be a pass-first offense, but in this league, you have to have some sort of balance because, you know, unless you're scoring and connecting every time you're throwing the football, you're going to have to mix things up a little bit. And you do have an offensive line that's a consistent offensive line. They've been together for a while now, and you know, especially that right side still learning with second year guard Brandon Scherff, but you have Morgan Moses on the outside and Trent Williams on the left, who's, you know, I think one of the biggest, the most MVP of this team, because without him, that everything changes along the offensive line. So they do have the pieces there. They just need to, I think they need to give it more of a chance. And like I said before, it's a situation where it almost seems like they panic and they get away from it too fast, because you don't know what you have in Matt Jones. I mean, we saw sample size last year. Yes, he put the ball on the turf a little bit, but he's worked hard on that this offseason. He had the injury in the preseason, but that seems to be healed. He says he's 100%, and he's putting his head down and finishing runs like he did the other day. I'd like to see more of him. So I would hope that they understand that what they have there, or what they need to give a chance to get going, and hopefully we'll see that in the coming weeks.
Sometimes when we see, George, a quarterback spread the ball around like Kirk Cousins did, when you see 10 different players picking up a catch, sometimes for quarterbacks that's a good thing. Sometimes you as a fan or as an analyst get frustrated because you say, hey, this particular target needs to be more involved. You know, you rewind mm-hmm. rewind two weeks to Dez Bryant only having one catch. When it comes to Cousins, do you think he's benefited by spreading it out like he did against the Cowboys? Or does he need to be looking to a DeSean Jackson or even to a Jordan Reed more than he is because of the playmaking ability? Which side of that discussion do you fall on?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I was actually having that discussion earlier today. I think there could be something to that he needs to maybe dial it back a little bit more and not have or not be focused on spreading it out. I would say that is an option. It is great to have all these toys, but at the same time, you know, there were so many times the other day, so many plays the other day, because our vantage point at FedEx Field is in the end zone in the press box, and you could see DeSean Jackson running free a number of times. Now, granted, there are times where he does take defenders and he draws the attention and he's able to get the ball to other targets, but there aren't enough footballs to go around on this team. And I would think that if you do focus on getting your playmakers more touches, especially in the red zone, a guy like Jordan Reed, no excuse for him not to be targeted in the red zone, especially after what he did last year. And with him and Pierre and DeSean Jackson, I mean, with those three, you should be able to do a lot of damage. And I think that's where you're going to hear the frustration start to come in from receivers. You saw it from Pierre Garçon. He was visibly upset at the interception the other day with Cousins. DeSean Jackson, you know, bowling ball, his helmet off the sideline the other day, a couple times at the end of the game as well. So I would say there is something to that, and I would like to see him maybe focus on these playmakers a little bit more instead of worrying about making sure everybody touches the football. You know, your first goal is to win, right? Your first goal is to get the ball downfield, and however you have to do that, and maybe he does need to focus a little more on the big playmakers.
How much does the game coming up on Sunday against the Giants up in Jersey scare you?
It definitely scares me. And we're going to find out a lot about them. The mental toughness of this team going on the road, especially at 0-2, you're going to be, you have the Josh Norman, Odell Beckham situation, which is, who knows how that's going to play out. But especially anytime the Redskins go up there to play, it's always a tough game. The Giants are 2-0 and give up a touchdown to the Saints the other day. So it definitely scares me. I mean, it's a division game. Anything can happen. And just going to see if this team is going to, is how they're going to come out. Are they going to panic? Are they going to be pushing too much to try and force to try to get a win, because they do need a win, but at the same time they have to just play football. For me, it's a situation, and just being around this team the last couple weeks, they need to not worry about the fans, don't worry about the media, just play football, let it loose, play football. That's what you're getting paid to do. Just go out there and let it go and have fun and play football. And I think, is it that simple and easier said than done? No, but just from a perspective where you kind of take a step back and look at it, and you can see how some of these guys are hesitant and panicking, like I mentioned. So I think it does worry me, but at the same time, if these guys just go play, you never know what can happen again, because it is a division game and you know these guys so well.
George, we know it doesn't really truly come down to one thing, but I'm going to ask you to pick one thing, and that is give me the one thing that the Redskins have to do on Sunday if they want to win.
You have to score touchdowns. You really do. You can't settle for three. You can move the ball all you want, but if you settle for three, it's going to come back and haunt you, especially like it did the other day. And like you said, there isn't just one thing, but that is one of the biggest things this team has to do. Have to score, have to get six, have to get seven, because it's that much of a different game. The other day, they score touchdowns when they get down there. I mean, they score 35 to 40 points in that game. So if they can do that, you take a lot of pressure off your defense.
Great stuff. Talking Redskins, George Wallace from WTOP. You find him on Twitter at GWallaceWTOP. George, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of six or seven different coordinators, therefore six or seven basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got two games under Carson Wentz's belt and two wins. Granted, one against Chicago, one against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule makers certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, you know, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, there's Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl run. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand-new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know. And when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good. But they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. And Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. The fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they would be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and send them, you know, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. That's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top-10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that clearly that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top-10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out DealScore that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, it's great to get off to 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you've followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrell Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrell Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right, final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off, because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.